This is a download from the BBC. To download other programmes or for more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Movie Podcast featuring the B-movie legends that are Bruce Campbell and his extraordinary chin. His new movie is called My Name is Bruce. Now, Bruce Campbell, he's got a new movie out and it's called My Name is Bruce, in which he plays a cult movie actor called Bruce Campbell. How are you doing, Bruce Campbell?
I'm well, thank you.
It's very good to have you here.
Thank you.
And we got some people want to talk to you. We got some emails and texts and so on. But Mark, what do we need? Give us in 30 seconds everything that we need to know about Bruce Campbell before we learn about Bruce Campbell playing himself, kind of a sleazy version of himself in this film.
Well, to do it very, very quickly, I used to write for Fangoria, and as any horror fan knows, Bruce is just a complete legend in the genre. Began with The Evil Dead, which over here was famously outlawed under the Video Nasties Act and declared to be obscene. That means likely to deprave and corrupt a significant proportion of its intended audience. And was starred in Evil Dead 1, 2 and 3, Army of Darkness, most recently seen in things like Bubba Hotep, which I really like, but then as it says in My Name is Bruce,
everybody likes
Bubba Hotep. And it is one of those things, I've never met Bruce before. I'm amazed that actually I've gone this far in my career and having written for Fangoria, because I thought actually when you started working for Fangoria, it was like, hello, here's Fangoria magazine and here's Bruce Campbell, you need to meet him first because otherwise you can't do anything else. So it's a great pleasure to say, Bruce, hello.
Hello.
How fantastic to meet you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, there you go. That's the 30-second version.
That's and echoes, and everyone who's followed your career, Bruce, will watch this movie, My Name is Bruce, and they'll be picking up lots of in-jokes, lots of little character references, and people that they've seen before in your films.
They will. They're going to be very disturbed. They're going to be very confused because there will be people that think that I actually do drink cheap whiskey out of dog bowls. Well, you always risk that when you make a movie, that someone's just going to be confused. We had the choice, of course, in coming up with this basic comedy premise of a loser actor being, you know, mistaken as having some actual ability. But we thought, we could have called him somebody else. So we thought it would just be more and more confusing if we just called him Bruce Campbell.
So you're playing yourself?
Quote unquote, yes.
But it's a version of yourself.
A horrible version of
myself.
You have to have somewhere for the hero's journey to go. You know, if he had any skills, the movie would be about 10 minutes long.
Can I just say that the most obvious comparison with this is in JCVD, we had Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Which you talked about last week.
Playing himself and going, oh, it is so hard being Jean-Claude Van Damme. Oh, it's very difficult. I want to talk about my philosophy. And in My Name is Bruce, we have Bruce playing himself going, hey! You know, so it's like, you know, which version you want? You want the moaning Belgian or you want the funny American, you know, who's willing to hit people with chainsaws even though they are too heavy to wield around as a dangerous implement?
He grabs a few butts, too.
He does, yes.
Now, I was slightly disturbed watching this film yesterday, Bruce, because I found myself quite taken with the movie that your character, the sleazy version of yourself, in the movie, is making. Is it Cave Alien 2?
Cave Alien 2.
Now, I was quite enjoying that film.
Did you see Cave Alien 1?
I missed Cave Alien 1, but Cave Alien 2 is clearly following on from the great success of the storyline in Cave Alien 1, and I kind of wanted more of that.
In the DVD, you will get the making of Cave Alien. And you'll even get a trailer for Cave Alien, the movie within the movie within the movie.
Because Cave Alien, I thought it looked promising.
Oh, a fine piece of work.
Yeah. So explain what happens to your character, which is a version of yourself. You're in the process of making Cave Alien 2.
Right. I'm busy living my life as a C-grade actor in the movie when a group of teenagers unwittingly resurrect Guan Di, the Chinese god of war.
How would you describe him?
Guan Di is the savior of the dead. He protects the dead and bean curd, because in a former life before he was a bean curd seller, and this is true, I'm not making any of this up, he was a bean curd seller, so he has a soft spot for bean curd. So that sort of gave us the hero and the Achilles heel at the same time, because in any horror movie, you have to have a creature. And I have to say, I'm going to go on record right here on the BBC, no one has ever used Guan Di as their monster before. They've had lots of Godzillas and giants and things like that.
And no one has ever used bean curd as the creature's Achilles heel either.
No. So this movie is shockingly inventive, I guess you would
say. It is, and a very scary creature. I mean, it's clearly a bloke in a mask.
Oh, you picked up on that, did you?
With sort of bulbs behind
No, we spent actually quite a bit of money removing those bulbs. We did. We did. We rotoscoped.
Any money.
No, we rotoscoped the bulbs out. You can see, well, I'll put it this way. You could. You used to be able to see them better, and now you don't see them as much. Right. So just sit further back in the theater. And it'll look fine.
So here's this real monster. Yeah. He's afraid of Bean Curd. And so he turns up. And how does that impact?
Well, what happens? He's not afraid of Bean Curd. He has respect for Bean Curd.
It's the only thing he won't kill.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He'll kill everything.
And in fact,
you're
safe if you possess Bean Curd in his presence. If you don't.
In general.
All bets are off. But anyway, this actor is mistaken as being, because he's Bruce Campbell and has been in these horror films and he's fought monsters, that a deluded teenager who unleash this creature figures that the best thing to do is to kidnap and have him fight the creature to save the town of Gold Lick, Oregon.
And there is a key moment in which our hero finds himself in the boot of a car stashed with Fangoria magazine, at which point I thought, there we go.
He's going to read one of my reviews.
Yeah, unlikely since it was a long time ago.
And of course, it turns out to be a very bad idea.
Well, tell us why, Bruce.
Well, since the actor doesn't know anything. Actors, as you know, don't really have any skills. We fake everything. If with a fight scene, half of it's our stuntman. We don't make up the lines of dialogue. Other people make us look pretty and sound good, and the writers make us sound intelligent or stupid.
No,
we're really just little
that
puppets.
To upset me.
Oh,
I know it's really you. What? You know, I know you really did fight the Evil Dead and the Army of Darkness, and I don't care what you say.
I won't burst your little bubble.
I should tell you, Bruce, that you are talking to someone who thought that Elvis was still alive for many, many years.
And Bubba Hotep, I think, kind of proved that.
It did, didn't it?
It did, exactly.
But he's dead now. He died at the end of the movie.
Yeah, the end of Bubba Hotep, I know.
Is that depressing?
It was a bittersweet thing for me, wasn't it? He's alive? No, he's dead.
I'm sorry about that.
How long did this movie take to film from start to finish?
Days. Many, many, many days.
How much did it cost?
Thousands of dollars. I'm not allowed to reveal that information.
Why not?
Because what happens is then you will judge it accordingly. I should just say millions of dollars.
Mm. And it took many months.
Hard work. It took days. You know, I'll tell you the truth. I have a reverse arrogance. In the B-movie world, we can slow down and spend more money. We can make Armageddon. If you let us make it, we'll make Armageddon. But can Michael Bay make a movie in 23 days with a single camera, with no special, with no stunt people? We're using this movie at all.
Can Michael Bay make a movie in 28 months with all the money in the world? To which the answer is Michael Bay couldn't direct Traffic.
Well, I didn't want to go there, but thank you for clarifying that.
How do you define a B-movie?
A B-movie is really anything that...
Well, I kind of know what you're talking about, but how would you define it?
A B-movie is anything that's a little more extreme, a little weirder, a little more twisted, a little more out of the box. But I have to say, the funny thing is, people used to make fun of B-movies, but every A-movie now, during the summer, is a B-movie. Because if you dress up like a bat and fly around a city called Gotham and fight a guy named the Joker, that's a big movie.
Well, we had Terry Gilliam on the program yesterday. Now, he makes... He doesn't make B movies.
No, he makes weirdo movies.
Yeah, weirdo movies.
What's
the difference between a weird movie and a weirdo movie?
Because in a B movie, there's usually some kind of violence, there's some kind of action, and women.
Can I clarify this officially? Okay,
yes.
Fine. On the Roger Corman principle. Okay,
in 15 seconds.
Okay, Roger Corman said. Roger Corman said, "What is Jaws if not a B movie with a budget?" And that's exactly what it is. A B movie started out as a supporting feature. The idea was you exploit whatever you have. That's why they're called exploitation movies. You do them in a stripped down time. Do them with a stripped down budget. And the point is they are meant to work with audiences for the least possible cost. And what's ironic is that Hollywood now spends all its time trying to make A movies look like B movies.
More
B movies doing better.
More in a moment. It's a movie hour, of course. We have Dr. Mark Kermode, who sounds like this.
Hello.
We have Bruce, who sounds like this.
Hello.
Bruce, okay. Do you have any qualifications?
For what?
Well, for anything at all.
It's Bruce Campbell.
Are you BA, Ed, Ons?
Oh, no, I have my chauffeur's license.
Oh, there we go.
From being a cab driver. It's still on my license
Very
today.
Good.
And from now, you can not just you can watch us, you can listen on the radio. Obviously, it's the most conventional thing. You can download the podcast. You can watch us being live streamed if you go to the Five Life homepage and you click on the appropriate badge and it all happens miraculously. And now you can follow us on Twitter throughout
you
the
allege.
Week. Who knows how this is going to work out? But if you go to twitter.com and you search for Wittertainment, There, throughout the week, you'll be updated with many exciting and wonderful things.
Okay, after you've explained to me what exactly it is.
Well,
it's going to be huge, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Apparently.
And some of the early Twitterers here already, even though I've just, for the first time, said how you can follow us, we've already got 58 followers, which seems strange to me. Could you get Mark twittering? It is the perfect medium for his ranting and wittertainment, says Melby1972. Bruce has been the highlight of the Spider-Man movies. Is he in Spidey 4? This is from a Twitter. It might make me watch after the rubbish third movie.
They can't make the fourth one without me at this point. My roles have been too pivotal.
Explain the pivotal roles in all the Spider-Man.
Well, in the first one, you know, they would seem like throwaway cameo roles. But in the first one, I played a ring announcer in a big wrestling sequence, and I named Spider-Man. Mm. So if I wasn't in the movie, the billion-dollar franchise would be called, in fact, the Human Spider. The second Spider-Man, I small role again as the snooty usher.
You were very good at snooty.
Yeah. Thank you. Peter Parker.
Could you give us a bit of snooty? Just that was it.
Peter Parker shows up late to a theater to see Mary Jane in a play for the first time, but I won't let him in. So technically, I'm the only character who's ever defeated Spider-Man. Part three, Spider-Man comes. I'm the French maitre d', a snooty French maitre d', and he comes to me for help. Spider-Man, the hero, comes to me for help, advice, and assistance.
If Sam Raimi comes to you for help, advice, and assistance on 4, could you tell him that 3 was rubbish, but 1 and 2 were much better?
I will let him know that you said that.
Yeah.
No,
that's fine.
He'll hit me with a stick if I say that.
Tell him that weird bloke from Fangoria who interviewed him years and years ago and seemed a little overkeyed and enthusiastic.
Now, did you feel that Spider-Man 3 was overwrought, perhaps?
I thought it was overwrit.
Overwrit.
And it was too long. And it didn't make any sense. But 2 was great. 1, good. 2, better. 3, thumbs down. 4 needs to be a return to form.
My issue was that there were too many
things.
Digital men fighting and falling. They fell many stories while they were fighting. And
yes.
I don't know how they do that. I don't know how you fight while you fall.
Yeah, I think that's because it's a Spider-Man film.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, but it was all over the place. And it was very long.
It was pretty long, and everyone was required to cry. Each character had a tear.
But you didn't cry.
No, because I was too busy trying to assist him.
Ah, fine, fine.
Since we started this conversation, we now have 216 followers.
Yay!
How about that?
That's the magic of Bruce Campbell, you see. That's why they say, you know, it's a million, keep the budget under $1.5 million, go straight to DVD, make sure you've got a name actor, namely Bruce Campbell.
You might break even.
You might break
it's
even.
It's the quiff and the chin in the same studio for the first time. James Kenny in Fermanagh, Northern Ireland. Bruce is a true horror legend. Please ask him if he's aware that there is a hardcore Gabba track called Boomstick by Scott Brown, which uses a sample from Evil Dead 3. It's a fantastic track. Keep on keeping on, says James. Do you know about that?
No, but he sounds like a fine person.
What does a Gabba track sound like, Mark?
You're asking me about modern popular music. Is it skiffle? No, don't know.
This is an immature question on this email. I understand, please, says this. I'm not quite sure who it's from. But anyway, it's on an email. I understand if Bruce has asked this many a time, but could Bruce say groovy? It would satisfy my youthful side.
I could if I was his little monkey.
Great to hear Bruce Campbell, the Evil Dead films classics, especially Evil Dead 3. Any chance of another, Bruce? This is Joe in Birmingham.
I sort of, when that issue comes up, which it does, and I have no ill will toward anyone who wants more Evil Dead, I take a poll. Who wanted Indiana Jones 4? Raise their hand. And I've done this in 22 cities in the States, and in each case, at a 300-seat theater, about 2 hands go up. So it's not... It's the last Evil Dead movie was 18 years ago now. Mm-hmm. You'd think that it would have gotten made somewhere in that time if there was a real, real grassroots demand for it. Because I think we're bound to fail. I think we'd put 2 years of hard work into it and people go, oh, it was okay. It was not as good as Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
And then where are you?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's all they remember is the very last one.
Yes.
I think we should just... let it be.
Although I have to say, in a strange echo of his previous career, in terms of The Evil Dead, first one, great. Second one, better. Third one, sorry.
You know, Chris Chelmsford, could you say thanks to Bruce the Lord Campbell for his superbly amusing book, If Chins Could Kill, especially the chapter on your part in The Quick and the Dead? Chris King, does Bruce's new film give a little nod to the 80s horror classic Fright Night?
Sorry, no.
There's lots of nods. Tell us the nods to look for.
There are not lots of... Well, first of all, I made sure there was a cast member from each Evil Dead movie. There's a Ellen Sandweiss from the original Evil Dead. She was raped by vines in the first movie. In the second movie, we used a gentleman named Danny Hicks and Tim Quill from Army of Darkness. They play the ranchers, the loving ranchers in the movie. So we tried to throw out little bones for people who might see some familiar faces. And we referenced sort of good movies and bad movies. I made fun of one movie specifically that I was in called Alien Apocalypse. So the movie Cave Alien 2 basically is Alien Apocalypse, where the extras have the worst beard work done in the history of cinema. So we made sure to give extra close-ups to the extras to make sure that you could see what poor hair weave they had.
This is great. Just loads of people just saying, I just love Bubba Ho-Tep. What's interesting about your particular followers, Bruce, which you kind of mercilessly take the mickey out of in your film, is that the Bruce in this particular movie, they follow you around. They're absolutely obsessed with you. But that is the way it is if you're Bruce Campbell.
It is. And there's a sequence in the movie outside of a studio after I'm done for a hard day of shooting Cave Alien 2 where I'm pestered by fans. And in the sequence, I sort of added that in the script of every word out of the fan's mouth is verbatim to a real conversation that I had, including a guy in a wheelchair who comes up and he's incredibly rude. It's all based on a guy I met at a convention who was the rudest, meanest man I ever met, but he was disabled. So what do you do? But in the movie, I can kick him in front of a bus. But in real life, you have to nod,
of course,
and
yes,
smile and thank him for his support.
I would just like to say in defense of horror fans, I mean, have you ever been to Fangoria conventions? They are fairly scary things, but
on the outside.
But the thing with horror, with horror fans is, and I say this with horror filmmakers, it's absolutely true. The people who make the nastiest, scrungiest, filthiest movies are almost invariably the nicest, sweetest, kindest people. And horror fans are the safest, most undangerous bunch of people on the face of the planet.
No question about it. They come up and they look like they're going to rip your head off. The spiked hair and the piercings and tattoos, very goth.
Quiffs.
Yes, all kinds of quiffs, and they. But they can't look you in the eye because they're too shy.
Yeah, exactly.
366 followers. I think it's down to Bruce.
It is. It's certainly not down to us, Simon.
How can people see this? Because it's not a cinematic release.
It'll be limited release here in the UK.
What does that mean?
Meaning hardly at all.
Yes.
Meaning it won't be released. It escaped. And in the and mostly DVD, I think March 2nd is coming out.
Okay.
And the ever-present Blu-ray.
We have a good new movie game, which I want to mention just while Bruce is with us, because this just strikes me as we can have some fun with this. This is from Tony, who's listening in Melbourne. Dear Tuttle and Buttle, whilst escaping Melbourne's diabolical heat at a recent screening of Doubt, review to come.
Yes.
My partner Verity and I inadvertently stumbled across a great new movie game, and I think you should try this out this weekend.
Okay.
As the credits rolled, we overheard... Now, we'll give us one phrase about what Doubt is about.
It's about doubt.
Yeah, in the context.
Did he, didn't he?
What?
What, do you want a coherent sentence?
Yeah, a coherent sentence for the first time.
Did the priest molest a boy?
Okay, so that's... And it's Philip Seymour Hoffman and it's Meryl Streep. As the credits rolled, we overheard a group of elderly ladies exclaim, well, that certainly brought back a lot of memories. This left us slightly disturbed and scratching our heads as to which particular part of the film caused this reaction. We have now taken it upon ourselves to audibly exclaim this at the end of every movie that we see in an effort to elicit the most confused reaction from other patrons. So far, we are split as to whether playing this game at Valkyrie or Revolutionary Road had the best effect. However, we hold our great hopes for the upcoming Australian release of Zack and Miri Make a Porno. Yours, fondly remembering the good times I had attempting to assassinate Hitler, Tony. This is a good game.
Very quickly, as a postscript to that, funniest thing said at the end of a movie was in Sir John Gielgud's memoirs, in which he writes about going to, because John Gielgud was in Caligula, kind of by mistake, right, but he loved it, my first pornographic film. And he went to see it in New York, and he sat behind two very old ladies, and he was convinced that they'd gone to the wrong film. They went because it was John Gielgud and Peter O'Toole and Helen Mirren. They didn't realise it was this orgy of filth and decadence. And he sat behind them, he said, and on the way out, one of them turned to the other and went, well, that was worth $5.
Well, that's almost as good, but not quite as good. You've kind of undercut the game by
a
story
you,
which isn't quite as good as the one from Melbourne.
You know, really, I hate you.
Right. So what is the best film that you could go and see in which you can join in Tony and Verity's game where you have to say that certainly brought back a load of memories?
The Evil Dead.
Not many of yours, I think, Bruce.
No. No, you would want to play that game, I don't
think. No, you could do it with Evil Dead.
Evil
yeah.
Dead, sure.
Yeah, sure. Well, who hasn't sawn off their own arm with a chainsaw? I mean, who hasn't done it, really?
When it comes back down to it. Listen, Bruce, it's been fantastic for you to come in. Thanks very much indeed. Really
Thank
appreciate
you very
that.
Much.
And the DVD's out beginning of next month.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was an extra edition of our rather wonderful movie podcast with Mark Kermode and Bruce Campbell. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for downloading this BBC Radio 5 Live podcast. And if you like this, you might also like this.
Fighting Talk.
I want to know what the greatest winter sport is. Right, a bit of a cold snap in the studio today, actually. Let's just get Mark and Tom out of the way here. Mark?
I think ice hockey is a great sport. We've had it briefly mentioned by Greg. It's really underrated here. Largely because our teams have all got stupid names, like Basingstoke Bison, for
Come
example.
On.
Or Nottingham Panthers.
For details of other 5 Live podcasts, go to the website bbc.co.uk/5live or go to the podcast directory in iTunes and search for 5 Live.